Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Monday, everybody. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. They'll make sure you're fully insured, do the best they can to get you the best price so you save money. And it was all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, let's set the tone for the week.
Well, first of all, did you have a good Easter with the family?
It was great.
Good.
Yep.
Same here.
Good.
But now to the business at hand.
Oh, jeez, here we go. Circling the fogged-in airport of hate.
Well, there's two people that get the shaft on this one. I'm sure you saw what happened to O'Neal Cruz. He's now out for 4 months after the play at the plate the other day.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, it is.
And to be honest with you, I didn't really see, just looked like it was an awkward slide.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But yet, the White Sox catcher and the broadcast team, I might even add, took exception to it. I mean, let's start with the catcher first off. You're partially blocking the plate. Sure, it's an awkward slide by Cruz. I get that. But he still barely even touched him. Cruz was the one that got hurt because he went in awkwardly, I think, to try to avoid a little bit more of a hard collision that he saw coming because he went down late for the slide. And yet he's all up in arms about it. And, of course, you start a whole brawl, and we have our first set of benches clearing this year while the guy is riveting in pain at home plate and O'Neal Cruz. Are you serious? Let's worry about the guy first. And then the White Sox broadcast crew on NBC Sports Chicago had the audacity to blame this on Cruz. How about we worry about the guy and make sure he's okay, who was clearly in a lot of pain? And obviously now we know he had a fractured leg. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Barely touched you. You throw out both benches. And you're all hot up in arms about it. And then the broadcast crew is just, like, not even acknowledging that Cruz is hurt. Barely, I should say. They said at the beginning of when it happened. But then once the fight broke out, it's all Cruz's fault for sliding into the catcher when he can't take any contact. Maybe if I just poke him on the chest, I'd probably get punched in the face with this guy. I have a little respect for your opponent. Good Lord.
Deep cleansing breath.
And this is the White Sox. This is how they are, really. The players.
Breathe in, breathe out.
The broadcasting.
Well, Jason Benetti's one of the broadcasters. He's a friend of mine.
Oh. I was not enamored with the way they handled it.
Okay. I didn't hear what they said, so.
I think it was more of the color guy that was...
Is that A.J. Pruszynski?
Is it? I have no idea. I know he does some games for Fox here and there.
I think that's A.J. Pruszynski.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear what anybody said. So, Cruz is out 10 to 12 weeks. Pirates are off to a good start.
Oh, my almighty!
At 6-3. I think the same record as the Yankees, if I recall.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
And closer to first place. You're three games back. You're halfway to buried.
Yeah.
I mean, Tampa Bay is never going to lose.
Yeah, let's see when they come to town.
You act like you've got this, like, super-duper team. I'm like, well, you're kidding me? You're not going to win tonight. Come on. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. So what's your other one?
Well, the second one has to deal with Odell Beckham going to Baltimore. We finally know where he's going. And then Adam Schefter has this tweet out with the Photoshop of him in a Ravens uniform. Big day for Baltimore. How is it a big day for Baltimore? They still don't have a quarterback. Even if they do, it's a guy that still gets hurt. They have no other receivers at all. And they have an okay running game. But they do have a good defense. We're acting like this is like the best thing again since sliced bread, like they're getting the Odell Beckham making the catch in 2015 against Dallas. We don't know how this guy's going to be. He's coming off a torn ACL, hasn't played in half a year, and barely got the money he was looking for. I think it's a strange signing for Baltimore, if you ask me. But call it a big signing? Stop. Enough with the enamorment of the name, and think about who the guy is right now. Maybe I don't care what he did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. He got hurt. That's where he is now. It was a shame at the time, but this is the way he is now. We don't know what he's going to bring to Baltimore. Stop.
He did more in the Super Bowl at wide receiver than your wide receivers did.
Well, that's all true. Actually, no, I disagree with that. A.J. Brown had a better game. But other than that, yeah.
No, A.J. Brown did not. But that's a different story. Because Beckham got hurt in the game and then left. And so you have to, you know, what did A.J. Brown do in 2.5 quarters? I mean, he caught a ball. Okay, good. That's good. I worry about you sometimes. Is it a big signing for the Ravens? Yeah, it's a big signing for the Ravens for this reason. When they dealt Brown to the Cardinals, they didn't leave themselves with a lot of targets outside of Mark Andrews. They now give themselves a target in Odell Beckham Jr. with the idea that maybe that entices Lamar Jackson to ease up and stay with the team.
They're still giving him $18 million, though, so you still have a big contract for a year when you still maybe are going to pay Lamar. I don't know. But Lamar, if I'm Lamar, it sends me mixed messages. I want to win, but oh yeah, we still aren't going to pay this guy $18 million.
How much did you give Jalen Reagor?
That's a valid point, but that was a very bad mistake.
How much did you money did you end up paying Nelson Aguilar?
I don't disagree. Once again,
I'm just asking for a friend. I mean, that's today's market. That's not. I mean, today's market dictates what the number is for everybody. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's about today's market. And today's market includes the largest cap number ever, the largest TV number ever, and that's all going to filter down to the players anyway. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, Jalen Hurts is going to get a gigantic number. right? I mean,
oh, no question. Yeah, it's going to be close to 50 mil.
I mean, he'll get a bigger number today than if he had been in a similar spot 5 years ago. He'd get a bigger number today if he'd been in a similar spot 10 years ago. It's just because of the circumstances and what the numbers happen to be today. So I don't sit there and go, oh my goodness, they gave Odell Beckham $18 million. That's what today's market is. Today's market just happens to be that way, especially at certain positions. If you are a rush defensive end, if you're a quarterback, if you're a wide receiver, you're going to get more money. If you're a left tackle, you're going to get more money. And that's just the way it is. I mean, for example, you guys know that I think Jalen Ramsey is a really good corner. Really good. Do I think he's one of the five best corners of all time? No, I don't. But is he paid like one of the five best corners of all time? Yeah. Okay. That's because that's what today's market happens to be for a guy that's really good. And has half the interceptions Jack Ham did. And gets thrown at more. Well, you can't compare. Yeah, I actually can compare. They threw the ball less when Jack played, and he had 32, 33 interceptions in his career. They throw the ball at Ramsey all the time during the course of the game. He makes a lot of really good plays, but he also doesn't have anywhere near the interceptions. Okay. So, yeah, you can compare it. Plus, one guy's a linebacker, the other one's a corner. Okay. But the market says that that's what he should get today. And I don't dispute the market. Nothing wrong. You can get as much money as you want. I mean, if you signed Odell Beckham Jr., you'd be jumping up and down.
Actually, not really.
Yeah,
I don't want any part of him. I think he's a pain in the rear end.
Okay. Well, I think he got LSU in a little bit of trouble.
A little.
The national championship. Okay. So there you go. You'd be jumping up and down. We got Beckham. We're loaded.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
We got Smith. We got Brown. We got Odell Beckham. We got the best wide receiving core in the NFL. I can hear it now. But you didn't sign him. Baltimore did. And now you're better.
Good for them. I'll laugh when it blows up in their face.
They speak highly of you.
The Rays should be 9-0, by the way. That schedule to start off the season is embarrassing. You want to talk about three of the worst teams right in a row. That's just nice scheduling on luck on their part. Detroit, Washington, Oakland.
Okay, well, don't the Yankees have to play them?
Eventually, yeah, but not letting them roll like that to start the year.
I'm just saying, the Yankees have to play them, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between them playing them now?
Well, so Tampa Bay's 9-0, and the Yankees are 6-3, which is still a good start. It's actually the best start since... when they were 8-1 in 2021, something like that.
I think it's all about your manager. I do. Don't you think?
Big part of it, yeah. I think Booney's off to a fairly good start.
Great. All right, we'll take a break.
But it's still early.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
On the ground to third, Moncada's coming home. Throw is high, Sebi got there, and that is out at the plate.
And Cruz is hurt. Sure what Santana was talking to Sebi about. I mean, that's a collision.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. There's a fight brewing now, and everybody spills out just to the left of home plate. Sebi Zavala and Carlos Santana were talking, and now here come the bullpens from left center field. Out of nowhere, on a high throw. Now, wow.
Now, Michael's still in this game. He's got to relax because he's still
to the baseball if the throw takes you into the line here.
Right, and Sebi does a nice job kicking the bat out of the way. Now, Cruz went into him. I mean, that was not Sebi's fault right there.
No good! No good! No good!
I disagree. I saw the play. They had Steve Stone was the analyst. You watch the play, and he does right away get the bat out of the way. The catcher, right? Which you got to do a process of get that out of the way and get yourself now set to take a throw. He did that, right? It's not a fault on either side. If I had to pick a fault, it's Santana. Santana's the one that came in. There would have been nothing if Santana doesn't come in there. Zero. That's the part that struck me was Santana. What are you doing? Just shut up. He's out. Move on. I'm sorry he got hurt, but he got hurt because of the slide, not because of what the catcher did. And the catcher prevented it, maybe even if possible, by getting the bat out of the way. It's not the take you wanted. I know you wanted. But Jason Benetti and Steve Stone are two of the best in the business. That was Steve Stone on the call. Stone's done this for a long time. But the problem with Santana, to me, because when I watched the play, like, okay, it's like, no offense, he got hurt. I got that part. So that part. But the rest of the play is benign. What makes it a bad play to you? That's what I'm asking you.
Well, there was nothing really. I was more about the reaction for me from the catcher than it was about the play.
But the reaction from the catcher is because of Santana. Santana comes in and he starts like, yap, yap, yap. Like, what are you yelling about?
Okay, I didn't realize that. Then, yeah, I would agree. Then that's on Santana. Everyone should have just pulled aside and moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
If he just like cools it a little bit and just like, I know he's upset. Especially with Cruz being hurt, he's upset. But Cruz didn't get hurt because of anything except for the slide. Catcher didn't do anything.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV. They would even insure, I believe, the Bitterness Cafe. We're with a proprietor is sometimes difficult to deal with. They always give you great insurance, make sure that you have the best, that you're completely covered, and not only that, they'll make sure they do everything they can to save you money. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament right now scheduled for Wednesday, August 9th, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Get to the Masters here. Start with this. Kevin Kugler is going to join us in a few minutes anyway. Rahm was terrific, John Rahm, which John Rahm is just a high-level, great player. But something about the coverage of it. CBS has had it for 68 years. CBS has traditionally done not just a good job, but a great job with the Masters. And they did a great job this year, with one notable exception. I know that there is this line between LIV and the PGA Tour. I got it. But everybody seemed to bury that along the way and just played golf. But it got strange yesterday. And we're not talking about Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. Koepka is a LIV player. Rahm, of course, is a PGA Tour player. It was the coverage of Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson. Now, Spieth deserved all the coverage he received. First of all, he's a popular player, and he's won at Augusta. He's always played well at Augusta. And guess what? In the final round, Spieth was putting on quite a show. But he was playing side-by-side with Mickelson. And so they cut. Here's Spieth on, pick a number. Here's Spieth on 10. All right. First time I think I really saw him. Here's Spieth on 8. Like, okay. 8's a par 5. You can pick up a shot. Here's Spieth on 9. Here's Spieth on 10. Well, every time they went to Spieth, guess who they didn't show? Mickelson. So, I pick up my phone to check out a couple of baseball scores. And I've got the tournament on. I'm watching the tournament. And so I says, okay, let's see if the Red Sox are beating Detroit. I'm going to put on my phone. I'm looking at my phone. Mickelson's in fifth place. Like, okay, I've been watching the entire time. Where is he? They finally get to him. A putt Mickelson hits on 12. Right? I guess they showed his tee shot. And then all of a sudden, the putt, he knocks it in. Okay. And then we don't see him for a while, but we saw Spieth. And all of a sudden, he's at 5 under, and then he's at 6 under, and then he's at 7 under, and then he's at 8 under. He's the clubhouse leader, and they hardly showed any shots he hit. So I started laughing because he comes up to 18, he rolls, and not only that, he's painting flags. Bang, 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 knocking in putts. There's nobody playing better on the course than he is. He shot a 65. And they hardly showed him. They showed him because I think they felt they had to. But he's sitting there with the clubhouse lead. At one point, he was 2 shots back. I sat there with, you got to be kidding me. 52-year-old, 3-time champion, comes out, who had not been playing well, resurrects his game, and he's playing like he's 35. And they showed a handful of his shots. Meanwhile, we're getting heavy doses of Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley, I picked their Hovland. Like, okay, how many more bogeys can I watch them get? Meanwhile, the old guy's over here. Hey, the balls are just sailing over the flag. Putt, good. Ball sailing over the flag. Putt, good. And Rahm and, you know, and Rahm and Koepka should get all the coverage. They're the two leaders. But then at one point, Koepka fell behind Mickelson. It was comical. I sat back and went, this is really funny. And CBS is not good at golf. They're great at golf. I mean, they're great at it. And they're great at covering the Masters and the whole deal. I got it. But for some reason, they missed. They either deliberately didn't do it or they missed the boat on this one. And like, okay. That was a little different. Because that's not normally how they do things, and you really felt like that's the one time where I felt like the live thing came into play. Down the road, it's only been 11 months for the live tour. Down the road, the one part I do wonder about is maybe next year, but probably the year after if it keeps going like this, how will the live players react to playing 72 holes because their tour is 54? You know, now you're bringing in the marathon aspect to it. Something that, quote, they would not be used to doing. But that was strange yesterday. I mean, really strange. Listen, I looked at my phone. He's in fifth place. I'm thinking, when's he been on? Okay. Oh, good. Russell Henley again. Can't wait. Go ahead, Russ. Knock it home. Fabulous. Scotty Scheffler. He started making some shots. Great. And then after that, you know, he finished at what, 400? He finished four shots back of the guy that they hardly showed any shots of. Okay. Kind of did it under the cloud of secrecy. Maybe it was better that way. Who knows? All right. Still to come, we'll talk about the Dallas Mavericks. I'm surprised that did not come up in the segment of hate.
Oh, it certainly can. I thought that was kind of a dead horse already beaten, but we can certainly bring that up. I have no problem ripping Mark Cuban at all.
Well, Kevin Kugler in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right. Time to bring in my friend, one of the best going, regardless of the sport, Kevin Kugler. First time he has spoken in more than a whisper in days. Welcome, sir.
Steve, good to be here.
There you go. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. First time you've spoken more than a whisper in days. It's great to, you know, after the Masters.
Anymore. I'm happy to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's great. As you watching it play out yesterday, obviously Rahm was terrific and Koepka really struggled for almost the entirety of the nearly 30 holes they played yesterday. What did strike you about how Rahm played and also how Rahm closed?
You know what? I was very impressed with his demeanor. Steady. You've got to play that much golf, and I don't want to make it sound like, you know, he's working in a coal mine. He played extra golf yesterday. But when you have to play that much golf, you you have to be able to steadily ride out some of the shots that aren't going to go exactly where you want them to go. And I really thought that was the most impressive thing that we saw from John Rahm yesterday. I didn't see much emotion from him. He was just steady Eddie all the way through what he had to do. Three, go through. Look, they got back on the course yesterday. That whole tournament changed because Koepka missed his putt and Rahm made his putt. So he had a two-shot swing within seconds of round three resuming yesterday morning. And that sort of set the tenor for the entire day. And Brooks Koepka didn't have his A game or his B game, may not have had his C game yesterday. I mean, he just did not have the kind of game you need to have to be able to win a major, and he knew that, and you could tell there was some frustration with him. There just wasn't any level of anything but a calm demeanor with John Rahm, and that was what impressed me. There have been times early in his career, especially, where there have been some mercurial moments with him. I just didn't see it from him in this event at all. He just was floating right along. He established his game. And I mean, look, this whole thing could have fallen apart. If you four putt the very first hole of your weekend, that sets a really bad tone. But he didn't let that phase him. I mean, you're talking about one of two golfers now who have ever doubled the first hole at the Masters and gone on to win, John Rahm and Sam Snead. That's pretty good company and pretty rare company for him to be in.
Exactly right, because you know you end up with a number, and just think now you end up playing the next 71 holes, and what he ended up playing the last 71 at 14 under par. I mean, that's about what he did, and he has had blowups before. I mean, no question about that. I don't think it'll figure into it. It's only been 11 months for Liv, but are you wondering 2 years from now? If this keeps going and the Live Tour, they're always playing 54 holes, what a 72-hole test is going to be for some of these guys once they get used to just playing 54 all the time?
You know, did you think that factored in? He said, not yet. But he did say, we've got to figure this out for the business of golf, for the good of the game. We've got to figure this whole Live PGA situation out right now. Because you want events like this, and it's a shame that it's only the majors now where the best in the world are going to get together and play. And, I mean, three of the five top finishers at the Masters are Live Tour players. You see, so it's not just it's some pretty impressive names at the top of that leaderboard yesterday that you're not going to see on the PGA Tour. And I think that's a shame. I hate that for the game. We've got to figure that out. But I don't disagree with the assertion that in 2 to 3 years, maybe that makes a difference. Maybe all of a sudden, from a strategic standpoint, your strategy is very different playing a 54-hole event than it is a 72-hole event. Not that you can't change your strategy, but if you're not used to thinking in those terms, it may be something that factors in. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be the overriding factor. It can be a small factor that creates a big turn of events in some 72-hole event down the road.
What did you think as Mickelson was doing what he was doing yesterday?
I was impressed. I mean, I don't know how you can't be. I know Phil is probably the biggest lightning rod of any of the Liv Tour people, and for good reason. And if Phil has just had a weird couple of years, a lot of the stuff he said, you know, for a while there, it looked like Phil was going to become the next great golf analyst. And you could tell CBS was kind of grooming him towards that. And then all of a sudden, all of this happened, and it, you know, for people who enjoyed wrestling, it's like Hulk Hogan leaving the WWF and going to the NWO back in the day, and he turns heel, and everybody's wondering why Hulk Hogan is now Hollywood Hogan. Every time I see Phil Mickelson, I think it's just like Hollywood Hogan, where you've got the dark clothes, and you look so different. But he found his energy again yesterday. He looked like a beaten man. A lot of the times I see him and he just looks beaten down by life and by all of the circumstances. You could hear it in his voice talking about it yesterday after the event. He just seemed energized by the situation that he's now in. And I was happy for that because regardless of what you think about Phil Mickelson and the situation that he's put himself in, the game of golf is better when the greats are still able to compete with the younger guys. It's the only sport where a 52-year-old and a 22-year-old can be on an absolutely even footing when they go out and play in the biggest event. And I love that for golf, and I hope it can continue, because it's better when Phil Mickelson's good. Whether you like him or hate him, it gives you somebody to be interested in, and I think that's great.
Yeah. And speaking of the 22-year-old, that's, you know, Sam Bennett may be 23 now, I don't know, because he's in his fifth year at Texas A&M. But to see an amateur compete on that level, toe-to-toe at times with these guys, what impressed you about him?
What impressed me about him was after the 36-hole cut, and he makes the cut, comments afterwards were, well, you know, everybody was telling me that they hoped I could be low amateur. He goes, now I'm in a position where I've got a tournament to go win. So he was cocky. Yeah. I love the idea that this kid who's striding onto the big stage for the first time in his life is like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll just go win the Masters. Okay, yeah. Why don't you just go win the Masters, youngster? I mean, it, and obviously it wasn't that easy, but I thought he acquitted himself really, really well the entire weekend. And I wasn't put off by the cockiness. In fact, I think when you're an individual in an individual sport, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe, yeah. You know what? I've won tournaments before. Why can't I win a green jacket? Why can't I win the Masters? I've won other tournaments. I could win this tournament too. I love that attitude. His game is going to grow so much from the experiences that he had over the last 4 days. And it's not the last time we'll see Sam Bennett doing something impressive in a golf tournament, playing against some big-time participants. That was really impressive yesterday and really all weekend long.
Fuzzy Zeller's first pro win was the Masters, as a matter of fact, so it's not out of the realm. And the great story about, you know, it's anytime you hear about anybody who's, you know, has dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's, and his father, one of the last things he told him where he was really coherent, and they wrote it down for him, and this is Sam Bennett's father, don't wait to do something. And then he signed it, Pops. He didn't wait to do something. He went out and did it this weekend, to his credit.
He did, and you're right. That's one of the great stories to come out of golf in a long time. Anybody who's dealt with anybody in their family who's gone through dementia or Alzheimer's knows what a crushing disease it is, more so even for the family than it is for the person going through it. Not to say it's any cakewalk for that person, but for anybody who's had to live through that in their family, you know how soul-crushing it is to watch that person slip away minute by minute, week by week, month by month. He watched his dad, way too young, for 8 years, go through that. Yeah. And now at this moment, his dad's passed 2 years now. Now at this moment, he gets the chance to shine on this stage, and it doesn't bring your dad back, but it gives you that connection to your dad once again in some small way. It was hard not to be touched by that, and anybody who's gone through this, you know how painful it is, and you know how hard it is on all of the people who love that person, and you know how hard it had to be on a young Sam Bennett. So I thought that was a really cool part of his story that will continue to be told as he's just now starting to break into this world of big-time professional golf.
Yeah, you were speaking to the choir on that, so I know the steps he's walked in. Very quickly, UConn, national title. What were your thoughts on the Final Four?
They were the best team in the country in November and December.
Yep.
And they found their way back to that by the time the season came to a close. So had you pulled me aside in December and said, who's going to win the national title? I'd have said probably UConn. And then January, I wasn't so sure because they really struggled. And look, the Big East is really good, so that was part of the struggles. But they figured it out, and they got themselves back to the national title. And I wouldn't rule anything out for that team to be right in the thick of things again next year. They're really talented. They're deep. Coach Early's a good coach with a good system. That program's not going anywhere. They're back, and they are. Ray Allen's been telling anybody who will listen over the last 2 months in any interview I've heard him do that UConn's a blue blood, and it's hard to argue with that. I mean, they have the national championships now over a course of 20 years to back that up.
They have five. Duke and North Carolina have three each since 1999.
Yeah.
Kansas has two. The other part, too, is – as somebody who watched Dan Hurley coach in other locations, like, you know, and you've been in that spot, Kevin. You've watched him coach in other spots. He could be, I'd say, emotional on the sidelines. His calm demeanor during this tournament told me, I've got the best team.
I've called games involving Dan Hurley in which Dan Hurley did not make it to the end of the game. He was ushered out early in the game because he is he's a little bit temperamental at times. He's prone to those explosions, but he was, you're right, the steady hand that he had on the wheel. We talked with him before every broadcast, and P.J. Carlissimo was on our crew, and of course P.J. was his coach at Seton Hall, and he was comfortable, he was confident. He's as superstitious as any coach I've ever been around, but he had good reason for that confidence.
My friend, thank you so much. It's great to hear you.
Yeah, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. Anytime, Kev. The great Kevin Kugler, one of the best in the business. All right, we will come back next hour. For Matt, this is like Black Friday. We've had the big Thanksgiving dinner, and Matt has lots of leftovers. The Bitterness Cafe leftovers in the next hour, of which I'm assuming there are many.
Well, now that you brought up Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks, I'm just looking at my chops at this point.
It's amazing how when people are done at the Bitterness Cafe, they end up going to like Dairy Queen. They feel like they need more.